Welcome to Practical Access. I'm Lisa Dieker.
And I'm Rebecca Hines. And Lisa, today's topic, virtual reality. We are so about the virtual experiences. Tell us about our guest.
Yeah, so we're very privileged to have my friend and colleague at the University of Kansas with us today, Sean Smith, and who he can tell you more about himself, but lots and lots of work in self-determination and advocacy. How's that for a new word I just made? So welcome, Sean. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, we're really excited. So can you tell our listeners a little bit, you know, this is a podcast, so they don't get to see anything, but we'll link your site there. Can you tell them a little bit about Voice and about that project and what they might experience if they choose to go out and visit your site?
Sure. So first of all, thanks for having me on. Yeah. Just to give a little context. Well, here, Voice itself is a virtual reality experience that goes across levels of immersion. So iPad, Chromebook, Windows, or a little less immersive environment, to the fully immersive environment in the Oculus. And came about this, and the focus is on social competence. And I can give the whole overview if you want, or I can stop for a moment. You let me know, okay?
Keep going. You're great.
So here's the whole overview. So we're trying to give experiences for individuals, particularly individuals on the autism spectrum disorder, individuals with learning disabilities, individuals that have social skill deficits, social emotional learning, social competence challenges, but sadly, it depends upon what state you are, depends upon what language you can use in reference to that. But we know very seriously, this has been a major challenge for a number of individuals. And post-pandemic, it is a challenge for a lot of our individuals. And although we've developed it particularly for individuals with disabilities, our primary users have been individuals who would be seen as typically developing and not identified with a disability. So our overall focus, though, is to develop knowledge and skills. And the way we've created it is we've wrapped it around some good evidence in social narratives or social stories, which in and of themselves are evidence-based practices to teach social emotional competencies, particularly for individuals with autism. But we tried to take it a step further with the idea that, well, we need a safe place to practice. We need more realism. We need more contextualization. And we want to go beyond knowledge and skills. We want generalization. And so taking virtual reality, which again, people think of a headset. So really, it's a simulated learning experience in a less immersive environment primarily on the iPad, Chromebook, et cetera. That's the primary users right now. We create a series of scenarios around this idea of social stories, around 180 plus skills, 140 scenarios. And the scenarios last between 3, 5, 7 minutes, depending upon the user. And basically, it walks them through an experience, school experience, gym environment, hallway environment, classroom environment, you name it. A bus environment where they are basically presented with a social challenge. And we've organized 140 scenarios under 10 specific domains, like receptive language or receptive communication, self-advocacy, things of that nature. And in that, the student is stopped along the way for a variety of reasons. First of all, they're stopped along the way with a social coach, which is a narrator. It's all prepackaged. It's a story. It's all organized depending upon the need of the user. And so as the user enters, they'll have a social coach, an individual kind of walks them through. They're about to experience this in the hallway. They're about to experience this in the cafeteria. And then they'll interact with avatars, which are pre-programmed. The avatars, the script is already written very purposefully because we want to make sure it's reliable and valid to actually teach the skill that we're seeking to teach. And the language is very important. And the user then interacts with that avatar. And right now it's very text-based. So they interact with a series of questions that are presented to them. So someone's in front of them in the locker. Someone's sitting in a seat they'd like to sit in. A teacher is responding a certain way and they need to respond appropriately. They're trying to check out in the cafeteria line and the lunch person is asking them a series of questions. And then they're prompted with questions that they need to respond to. They can hear those questions. They can read those questions. And then they select to them. They point to them if they're in the virtual reality, fully immersive. They click on it. If they're in the Chromebook, they touch it on the iPad. And then it takes them down, depending upon the selection, it takes them down a reinforcement of what they selected. It takes them down an avatar responding potentially in a negative way. It's like, you just did what? And the avatar, like a student would respond back with, what are you doing? Or maybe the social coach jumps in and talks them through about what their selection was and why it was positive or what it was a challenge. And so overall, the expectation is not all 10 domains, not all 140 scenarios, not all 180 plus skills, but rather very targeted depending upon the student, which the educator would select. And then the growth would be knowledge and skills and expectation to generalize it into the real world. So I'd say that's in a nutshell, but I think that's it in a like a bag of nuts. How about that?
a big bag. That's amazing. So Sean, let me know if this is a correct summary. So sure. The tools can be used either with or without glasses?
Correct. The majority of users have used it with the iPad and the Chromebook. And when we created it initially, and we'll go into some language that's not relevant, but it's important, and that is Unity. So Unity is a computer program language. And do I need to know about it? No. But the reality is it allows us to make it available in a variety of platforms. And right. So we knew going in that the headset was our goal, the gold standard, but we knew the majority of our students would probably never be able to access it. And so right. The Chromebook is primarily, 60% plus in our schools is a Chromebook, iPads, Windows, et cetera. Right. So that's how they, and then the less immersive experience of it, sorry to interrupt, but we did some research on it and we found out that the growth across all three platforms, iPad, Chromebook, and the Oculus, is significant in terms of some reference examinations on their competency development, but it's not significant across the platforms. Mm-hmm. So they grow, but it doesn't seem to be significant in terms of what system they use in some of our preliminary work.
So. Interesting. And I know, as you have written, and as those of us in the field know, sometimes the glasses, they do help certain kids with distractibility. Yeah. So certainly a teacher by teacher and case by case decision if you do have access, but important to know that you don't need a lot of peripheral tools to make this work. So can you give us just a description? If I'm a user, I'm a kid, I log in to the app. What do I see first? You know, what does this look and feel like to me?
Sure. So let me kind of walk you through a couple of different ways. First of all, the user, they download the app, they select and they select it on the Chromebook, they play or App Store, the iPad. They select a domain. There's one of 10 domains. They select one of them. Now, why? Now let's clarify why they select which one. A teacher would tell them which one to go into. And or if the teacher's already assigned it, that domain would appear. They select that domain, and then the scenarios are organized into tasks. And either those tasks will appear that are assigned to them, or they're told which tasks to select, and then they go into a scenario. When the scenario begins, there's a big white arrow. They click the white arrow, and it just begins to move them into a classroom, moves them into a cafeteria. They maybe start to walk down a hallway. All of a sudden, they'll start hearing noises as if they're in a classroom or a cafeteria or a hallway or bus. So all that becomes fairly realistic. And then the scenario begins. And the scenario may begin with a teacher starting to talk. It may begin with they're sitting at a table with a series of students and they're being offered the following opportunities to be able to engage. So very quickly, the individual is part of that experience. And you didn't ask it, but I'll offer this side. Presence is important to us. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a fair amount of work on, do they feel a presence? And we're finding out over very significantly, yes, they feel they're part of a classroom. They feel they're part of a cafeteria. They don't feel they're part of some sort of virtual experience. They really feel that they're interacting with their peers. So that's how it would work initially for the user. And as they respond, it continues them through until the scenario's ended. And when it's ended, they're thanked for that. And either then they're assigned to the next one, or if that was the last one, they would simply sign out. They have a navigation tool throughout. They can always exit whenever they feel comfortable. And it will remember them when they return. They can always ask for help and things of that nature.
And this type of virtual environment, for people who aren't familiar with this type of thing, so a big difference is, if I'm correct, the student's experiencing it as a first person. So it's them walking through.
Right.
They're not watching something where someone else is going through and they're just a passive.
No, it's very much first person. In earlier versions, they could actually see themselves. They would see an avatar if they looked in the mirror. So if they happen to walk by a mirror in the hallway or in the bathroom and things of that nature, we've taken that out. We may add that in going forward that they get to select an avatar, but everything's first person. They're seeing things as if they're in that environment. But right now they do not select, they don't know what they look like. So they're not selecting an avatar, but the children think they're in, the students think they're in a game and they'd like that game feature. And so that's something we're probably gonna add on in our next iteration that they can select an avatar, so.
Well, and I love too, having been in it, that you also get to make bad decisions and the consequences are real in the virtual environment, but then you do walk away and they're not real in your life unless you choose to make them there. So I think that's the transfer of skills for teachers and parents listening. It's a great place to do that. And I think the other thing, Sean, is it's free, correct? No cost?
It is free, supported by the Department of Office of Special Education Programs, U.S. Department of Education. Currently, we're still collecting data. And so folks that download it, and it's VOISS, it's an acronym. Don't worry about the acronym, but VOISS, and I know it's phonetically not correct. But if you Google that Play Store, or the App Store, you'll find VOISS Part 1 or Part 2. It's fairly big right now. And then you'll download 5 of the 10 domains on each part. But you're right, it's free of use. It's very game-based. And and as you mentioned, Lisa, you know, the initial reason we went into this was we need a safe environment. We need an environment to, for lack of better words, crash and burn. That would be out of my brother-in-law's pilot background. He'd say, yeah, we did a lot of crashing and burning before we got into the real thing. And that opportunity to crash and burn in real life, to make mistakes, and have someone else practice with you again and again and again, often fairly limited. And so that's why we created this simulated environment. So,
well, and I love that the virtual coach gets to help you too, because then you don't have the adult, you know, being the parent and nagging. And so I am curious, of all the domains, you've done a lot of research and have lots of schools using this. Of all the domains, which one is most often used in the classroom? And putting on your parent hat, which one would be like, if you were going to do this with your kid, where would you start? Like, what is there a domain you're like, yeah, this is the one that seems to be the teacher's favorite, fan favorite, and maybe the best domain to think
about?
Well,
now you're asking me, of course, which I should know. I should be memorized in terms of my 10 domains. So
I was just curious if there was one. I can only imagine there's so many, but I didn't know if there was a certain skill. Is it the cafeteria? Is it the hallway? Like, what's your go-to that people use the most or find most helpful? And you don't have to be
responsible. That's a good question. So we have not collected data on particularly in terms of that use right now. That's an interesting question. I'll tell you, though, the popular ones oftentimes are the receptive and expressive communication.
Okay.
Those are big ones. But there is one, and our focus has been primarily where our funder, the U.S. Department of Education, is very much in education right now. And of course, right? Sorry about that. I'll say that a little bit better. They're very school-based, right? But of course, increasingly, they're thinking family, which is awesome as a family member of a parent of a child with a disability. So the parent and family in the home environment has not been a primary focus. And yet, parents have been, once they hear about this, hey, how can we get involved? Yeah. We have an area that's called school, home, and community. And that's a domain that it seems to be popular amongst the families. But at the same time, the skills and the scenarios overlap. So we organize in the 10 domains, but very possibly you could get an executive and organizational skill domain scenario, but also it's in school, home, and community. So, yeah.
Well, and I'm wondering, like the cafeteria would transfer over if I go to a restaurant and someone is at a table and, you know, they're by themselves and it seats 9 and I need 9. Like, I'm just thinking that there's so many overlaps, you know, might not be in the hallway where there's lockers, but I might be in the hallway of a hospital or a grocery store. Yeah.
And let me clarify that. And this is probably really the question you asked initially that I missed. And that was like, for example, we have things in the physical education setting. Well, and passing a basketball. There's nothing to do with the skill of passing a basketball. It's turn taking. It's cooperating. And we just happened to, when we identified these skills, we said, well, where across the environment could we create something that would engage the individual, that would offer those opportunities? And we wanted to get it across enough variety, not just in the classroom, realizing a lot of these things happen without the educator there. And of course, like in the hallway, cafeteria, bus, PE. And so, yes, the intent is for those to be transferred. I mean, if it's a hallway, they should be able to take it to the movie, the hallway going to a movie. They should be able to take it to a hallway at a department store. You name it. That's the expectation. So hopefully that helps in terms of that initial question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Great answer.
And so, Sean, my final question is, for those teachers or pre-service teachers who wanted to use something like this or have a need to use tools like these, can you give us a simply stated, like, steps of how would they use that, practically speaking, in a classroom?
In voice or virtual reality in general?
Well, we'll go with voice just because it's a tool that we will link to for our audience so they could give it a try?
So first of all, our target audience have been middle schoolers, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. The user base has been fourth grade up and up and well into high school. We've got a lot of questions about using this post-secondary. And our response is the domains and the skills are appropriate. The setting may not be appropriate in terms of where they're learning those skills. It's not out in the workforce, et cetera. In terms of the use, our intent is to be a full curriculum. That was what we heard from the field. That's why we've gone across the skills and the scenarios that we've covered. The use by a teacher to get started to work with their student, as well as a parent, is we create an inventory. And then inventory is off of voiceadvisor.org, and we'll make sure you have that link. And that allows educators as well as parents to answer a series of questions thinking of a student or students want to use this program with. And that's how they would get started. So the inventory allows them to say, hey, this domain is very much aligned with your need, and these skills are very much aligned in that domain. This is where we'd recommend you get started. And that's where then the student, as I mentioned earlier, when they pop in, they'd have that direction, they'd have those areas to focus in on. And then hopefully as a teacher, they would be able to give that opportunity, an opportunity for knowledge and skill practice. And then we also have some guidance to say with the progress monitoring we collect, so there's data on the other side, now support them generalizing that in the general education classroom or wherever that student is. So all those kind of parts come together to assist that educator and or parent to be able to facilitate this.
Love it.
And I know you all have had a lot of fun building this and a lot of work. So thank you for the contribution to the field. So my final question for you, like, what's been the best fun, the most interesting thing somebody said, a student has said, what's something that you already are like, yeah, this has been fun because of blank? Is there something that comes to mind?
Well, you know, early on, very, very early on, we were doing some usability testing with a group of science teachers, the middle school science teachers. And the science teacher who was very much, I think she had been volunteered to do this. She'd been, you know, and we had done this at the beginning. It was in the pandemic. During the pandemic, we were remote, at least for our trainings. And so via Zoom, she was, you know, she could have used a social video. But anyways, she gets on and she goes, I've got to tell you, you know, I've got 120 students. And over at these classes, these kids kept asking me about this game they wanted to keep playing, the game they wanted to keep playing. I guess she had introduced it when she was not there. There was a substitute. And she could not figure out what the game was. And so finally she figured out, oh, it's voice. They wanted to play voice. And that hooked her. That hooked her. She was, like I said, I think she was volunteered for the project. She started realizing the kids saw it as a game, but she saw what they were learning. And we were sharing the evidence of what they were learning on the other end. And that early on was like, you know, because I'm looking at this and I've been living with this and I'm looking at this going, this is not, you know, the games my kids play down in the basement. Yeah. But clearly the middle schoolers saw this as a game, which of course, yeah, they're connected, they're engaged, they're wanting to do it. Awesome, because we know what's going to happen on the other end. So that was pretty exciting.
That's great. Great. Well, thank you again for making the time. And we're excited our listeners will have a chance to learn and download and play with voice. And I know you all are always open to feedback and questions. Yes. If there is any. So
reach out and hopefully we may put my email there. Yeah. Folks listening to this. And thank you so much for letting me be part of this. I really appreciate it. And thank you for doing this for the field. This is awesome.
So. Well, we really enjoy it because of people like you. So thanks again, Sean. And if you have questions for us, please send us a tweet at Access Practical, or you can post a question for us on our Facebook page. Thanks again, Sean. We appreciate your time.
Have a good one.